you will remain standing and turn in your Bible to Psalm 119. Amen. Psalm 119. Amen. I don't think I got a long message tonight. I'm going to try to preach on all of these verses. And I don't think I'll try to cover them all, but I try to give you what's on my heart and hope bring glory to the Lord. By the way, while we're turning, tomorrow is Brother and Sister Hall's wedding anniversary. Amen. And so we wish them a happy wedding anniversary. Hope they have a good time. And bless of the Lord. Amen. And I appreciate them being in the house of God tonight and being able to sit here with a lot of their family. I know that's a blessing to them. Amen. Amen. Psalm 119, I'm going to just pick through and read. I've got three verses I want to read and preach from these three. Verse number 25, Psalm 119, verse 25 is my first verse. The Bible says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." Jump over to Psalm 119, verse 107. "I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word." Then 154. "Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word." I guess you see the resemblance of those three verses. All three of them have the words "quicken me." One of them says, "quicken thou me." The other two, "just quicken me." And all of them say, "according to thy word." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this time. Brother Bale, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, praise you, dear God, for the privilege and ability to come out of
the house. Yes, Lord, we do thank you and praise you.
And I thank you, Lord, for the truth of thy word.
Yes.
And ask that you be with Brother Shepherd and I.
Help us, Lord.
Place upon his heart. Pray the Holy Spirit will take what he says. And
yes.
Lord, help us to apply it to our lives and our walk with thee. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, thinking about these verses, I'm preaching tonight on this thought, the revival we need. And I'm using the word "quicken" in the form of the word "revival." And I'll tell you more about why when I get to my second point. And I hope you can see it when I get there. But about 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, I heard some men on the radio there in North Carolina, and they were saying, one man, he was in a nationwide religious group. Anyway, they have this agenda and this thing they're working on, and he said that America is in the midst of a national revival right now. That's what he said. He said America is in the midst. It was David Barton was the man's name that said that. He's with Wall Builders, I believe is the name of the outfit. And he was on the Glenn Beck radio show. Now, I don't know what Mormons know about revival, to be honest with you. They need to be saved. Amen. And but Barton said, and Glenn agreed with him, that America is in the midst of a national revival. And when I heard that on the radio, I immediately said, I said this out loud. I said, if it is, it's not a revival of godliness or Christianity, but it's a revival of wickedness and anti-Christianity. I believe that's right. And then shortly after that, I was reading a book, and a man used this quote. He said where it was, and a group calling itself Christ for the World wrote in 2010, they claimed, and here's their quote, they have recorded over 45 million documented salvations in their worldwide ministry over just the last 6 years. Now, that's found in a book by Ray Comfort entitled God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life. Of course, he's mocking that, saying that they're wrong. Well, if they've had 45 million people saved in the last 6 years, if that was true across our world would be different, don't you think? I believe there would be our world would be changed, amen. Old things would be passed away and all things would be new in the world, amen, if we had that kind of people saved. And I wish that were true. I really do. I don't poke fun at that in saying, ha ha, look at how, but I am saying, look how foolish people are at what they will believe and what they'll repeat and expect us to believe, to be honest with you. Amen.
Right.
But here's the thing. People are swallowing a worldly, easy salvation. A worldly, easy brand of religion. They're swallowing it. Amen. They want a religion that allows them to go on living in sin and yet fellowshipping with God. Amen. And expecting to go to heaven when it's all said and done. Amen. But thinking about that phenomena, I thought about the need of revival. And I saw these verses and I ran across these thoughts and I jotted some things down. And I'll refer to other verses, but these are my primary verses and I'll be looking back at them in just a little bit. But the word, I'll go ahead and give you this. I said I'd give it to you in my second point, but I'll throw it out. This word that is translated quicken in the King James Bible, if you look it up in Strong's, it's number 2421. And it means to live, we understand that, or to revive. And so I did a search and got to looking every time the word revive or revived is in the King James Bible, in the Old Testament, every time it's translated revival, it's this same word that right here is translated quicken. And so here's what, I don't believe David was asking to be saved again, do you? I believe he's talking about revival. And David, as he wrote this psalm, and I believe that he did, and as the psalmist wrote this, he's a saved man. And so when he's saying, quicken thou me, he's saying, revive me, revive me. And he mentions some reasons why that he needs revival. Now, having said that, I've got three thoughts about revival. I know we're headed up to this meeting, and I think it'd be good if we get in our mind praying for revival. And by the way, it's not something that just we pray about it real quick, and I mean, we drive up to the drive-thru window and expect it. Right? I mean, I do know when we talk to God, when we ask God something, we ought to expect God to answer, but it's not, God, I'm making my order now, I want you to get it ready for me. It's not that kind of a deal. Amen? The idea is that we're expecting that God can and that God wants to send revival. Amen? Amen. And I pray that He will. I pray that He'll do it even before next Wednesday gets here, don't you? Amen. Now, I'm thinking about, first of all, the definition of true revival. Each of these texts that I read to you is a cry for quickening. He says, quicken me according to thy word. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Quicken me according to thy word. Again, three times he makes that. And the quickening, the revival, he says, is according to God's word. That's what true revival is. Amen. I believe the problem with these modern hoaxes that claim to be revival is that they are not according to God's word. Amen. If we have true revival, it will be according to the Word of God. I believe that. Amen. It is true that a visiting preacher can come in, and many times he can draw a crowd by his charisma, by his charm, by his controversies. He may draw a crowd even by his magnetism, by his brashness, by his boldness. He may influence some people, and he may get some people to pay attention, and a talented evangelist may swoop into a town and gather in several people and get their enthusiasm going, but when he's gone, it's gone. And the reason is because that's revival according to the evangelist, rather than revival according to God's word. Amen. And again, when I say that, that's not a slight on Brother Raines. Brother Raines doesn't consider himself a revivalist. And I know men that I believe God could use to send revival are not men that think they are the ones that would bring revival. Amen. They recognize whom they're leaning on, and their job is just to go and preach and do what God said for them to do and trust God to open the windows of heaven when He sees fit to do it. Amen. Amen. But so when I say Brother Raines can't bring it, that's not a slight on Brother Raines. By the way, as far as I know, he is a great man of God. Amen. He's been a blessing to my life. I know he has been to this church. He has been to our church back as I was growing up. Really, all my adult life that I've known Brother Raines, he's been a great blessing to me. When I look at his family and see that, but here's my point. What he's got is not what I need. What I need is what God's got for me. Amen. And I believe that God can give it to us if we'll pray and trust and believe God for it. So I'm not looking for a revival that an evangelist can bring, but I'm looking for a revival that God, only God, can bring. Amen. Now what we need is an increase in spiritual life. A revived spiritual life. Amen. Amen. Revival means giving more life. That's what it's talking about. And we need to be more spiritual. David had life, but he was wishing for life more abundantly. Amen. He wanted to live on the victory side. Amen. I don't know who wouldn't want to live on the victory side, but we've got a lot of people that it seems to me like they're just satisfied wandering in the wilderness. Amen. Just a lot of people satisfied in Egyptian bondage, but even those that get out of that bondage seem like they're satisfied wandering in the wilderness all their life. Amen. I don't want to wander in the wilderness. I don't want my children to have to wander in the wilderness. I want to cross over into the promised land and serve God in victory. Amen. That's what I want in my life. And I believe that's right. And revival is the idea of giving more life. Amen. We need more life. We in life would produce love in us, and it be love like God loves. We need love like God love does, and we need more of it than we've had. We need life that God gives, and we need more of it than what we've got. Amen. 1 John chapter 5 verse 3 says this, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Amen. There are people that seem to think, well, that Bible's hard. No, it's hard living outside the Bible and dying in your sin. That's what's really hard. Amen. Amen. And but the Bible says that this is the love of God, is that we keep His commandments. In other words, this is the point I'm going. Obedience is love. And I believe obedience is an act of faith. And obedience is part of what brings revival. And we can see God. Now, what I'm saying that is this. Sentimentalism is not love. Sentimentalism is not revival. Amen. Just getting a tearjerker, just emotionalism, is not revival. Amen. I know this church has experienced revival. I've heard it and heard it, and I'm not tired of hearing it. I'd love to hear it more. And by the way, I'd like to know it ain't all in the past. Amen. I'm talking about for myself and for you as well. Amen. Amen. It'd be a blessing if God just sweep through. And by the way, that revival that you had when Brother Smith was here was not planned to be like it was. Amen. It was not orchestrated by man. I guess there was a plan, but it wasn't man's plan. Amen. And what I'm saying is this, is that if we're going to get to God and get what God has for us, it'll get beyond our program and beyond our plans. Amen. But we ought to pray for it to be that way. He said, when you pray, you ought to expect Him to do great and mighty things. Amen. That thou knowest not. He said, we ought to expect Him to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could even ask or think. Amen. And so we need that kind of revival. We need a quickening of faith. I believe that. A revival of faith. Amen. You say we have faith. I believe we do to a degree we have faith. But revival would give us abundant faith. We need a faith that believes that God can still work miracles. Amen. Now, I have faith to believe, now follow me on this, I have faith to believe that God rolled back the waters of the Red Sea and allowed them to walk through on dry land. I have faith to believe that. But when I come to the brink of the water, do I have faith that He can do it again? That the same God that did it back then can do it today. Amen. Now, we're facing troubles. We may not face troubles like Moses faced and the children of Israel faced. We may not, and we may. I don't know the degree of trouble you may face. But I know this. The same God that rolled the waters back for Moses is the same God I'm serving today. Amen. And what we need is faith to believe not only that He can, but that He will. Amen. A faith that believes that God can still work miracles in our lifetime. A faith that believes God can save our loved ones. Amen. We've prayed sometimes till we're blue in the face, but it's not our prayer that gets it done. It's Him that gets it done, and we need to pray and believe that He's going to get it done. Amen. Amen. We need a revival of faith that causes us to believe that by honoring God and by honoring the Word of God, that He can bless us in spite of this worldly system. Amen. Amen. I know we're living in a day when people got the idea, they say, you know, well, times have changed, preacher. You can't make it unless you work 7 days a week. You can't make it unless you put her to work. You can't make it unless you work in a place where they serve alcohol. They got all these excuses about what they have to do. I'm telling you, it do us good to get the faith to believe that the same God that worked in the past can do it today. Say amen right there. That's right. The same God that did it then can do it today. Amen. He can. And we need that faith. You know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him in Hebrews chapter number 11. Well, we not only need a revival of faith, but we need a revival of conviction. Now, I'm talking about real revival. true revival. A revival of love, a revival of faith, and a revival of conviction. I think about the past. I love to read about the martyrs. I love to read about people in the past that stood for God. And I wonder where today, where are the men and women that will stand up for what they believe in? Amen. Really, stand up for what they believe in. And we may have to see where we are because the Muslims may be over here before we know. I mean, they may be here already. Amen, no doubt. And the thing may be that we have to show whether we'll stand and give our life and give our blood, shed our blood for what we believe. But I wonder where the preachers are today like Nathan that would stand in the face of the king and point his finger at the king and say, "Thou art the man." Amen. Where's the men of God like Elijah, that would point at Ahab and said, "I'm not the one troubling Israel. It's you and your father's house that's troubling Israel." I'm talking about men that had a backbone, although they knew that at the king's word they could be killed instantly. But they knew they had a king bigger than the king. Amen. And the king's word that they was trusting in was bigger than the king's word, amen, that might put them to death. Amen. Amen. When I say, where are those men? I think about men like John Knox. He lived 1514 to 1572. He faced bloody Queen Mary and told her that she was an idolatress because of her Roman Catholic faith. Amen. He called the queen an idolater. Amen. Amen. I wonder if there's any young women with a conviction of a woman like Anne Askew in 1524 to 1546. Rather than confess what she did not believe, they asked her to confess that the presence, the real presence of God, was in that wafer, the Catholic Mass. They asked her to confess that, and she refused to confess it. They took her to the Tower of London. They racked her on the rack till her bones cracked, and then they burned her at the stake, and she yet refused to confess. She said, "I cannot believe what I cannot believe." Amen. She stood the test. Amen. And went through the fire. And I believe went to glory in a chariot of fire. Amen. Amen. And we need some men like John Knox, some women like Anne Askew. She is a young woman, by the way. Amen. There's, what about the old women? Oh, I'll say older women. Older women like Elizabeth Gaunt. She died October the 23rd, 1685. They put thumb screws in her thumbs and her fingers. If you've ever seen pictures of that, they'd have a block of wood and each side they'd run that screw through and it would mash, but it'd also pierce the thumb. And they put them on her fingers, and with the blood running from her hands, she yet refused to bow down to the saints and worship the saints. She refused to bow down to the host, that Catholic wafer God that they have. She refused to bow down to that. These people had convictions. Amen. 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 Then men like John Philpott died December the 18th, 1555. John Rogers died February the 4th, 1555. And that anniversary will be coming up in just a few days. John Rogers and John Philpott both boldly preached Christ. They suffered imprisonment. Finally were burned at the stake in Smithfield, England, where many of them were burned. Amen. Each of these men were offered money, they were offered power, and they were offered fame. If they'd stop preaching against the Catholic and Protestants that were in the power in their day, and they refused, amen, they stood for the biblical way, for the Word of God. These people, I'm just simply saying, had conviction. Has all that passed in the last several hundred years, or have we got some people today? And I'll tell you what would cause us to have that conviction today would be revival. If we could get a revival that would restore our faith, that would restore our life in Christ, we could have that kind of conviction. I believe that. Amen. Amen. Well, our modern churches have a religion with a namby-pamby sort of faith. It's a jellyfish conviction. One with no backbone. Amen. Amen. Their religion changes like the colors of a chameleon. Amen. That's right. I started reading a book about these emergent churches and several things that I knew about. And one of their main, this is their founding doctrine, is that they have no founding doctrines. No foundational doctrines. Their belief can change every few days. One man said that if we believe in absolutes, if we absolutely believe we can know God through Christ, then we cannot reach this ever-changing world. That's what he said. because we're not willing to change. Listen, I'm telling you, there are some absolutes, and I don't mean to get off on that, but the absolute thing that I believe in and we need conviction of is that there's no hope anywhere else but in Christ, but there is hope for the man, woman, boy, or girl that'll come to God through Christ Jesus. There's still hope. He's still able to save them. Amen. That's the only hope that they'll have. But we need some men that'll stand and not only preach it. I'm talking about church members, pew sitters. I'm talking about people when you're in your family reunion and those around you are talking about their worldly religion, that you're saying there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Conviction. Revival of conviction. Revival of conscientiousness. Amen. In other words, a conscientious strength. It's not just strong during the singing and the sermons on Sunday morning, but it'll hold strong in everyday life. Amen. That'll be a Christian at Walmart, just like you're a Christian at the Church of God. Amen. Amen. That'll be a Christian at home. That'll be a Christian on the job. Amen. I could talk about a lot of things. Just be a Christian. One fellow said, I've heard it said, if you are a Christian, act like a Christian. He said, don't act like a Christian. Too many people acting. He said, if you are a Christian, be a Christian. That's all you need to do. Just be a Christian. Amen. I do believe that's right. Amen. We need a revival that produces honest businessmen. Say amen right there. Amen. You're going to laugh at this. We need a revival that produces truthful lawyers. Now, I ever tell you that story? They say it's a true story. I don't know if it is or not. They said Abraham Lincoln was walking through a cemetery one day, and he saw a tombstone that said, "Here lies a lawyer and an honest man." Abe Lincoln had been a lawyer. He said he sort of scratched his chin a minute, and he said, "That is amazing. Two men buried in the same grave." But God can produce honest lawyers. Amen. They may have to quit taking some cases. Amen. Amen. They may have to quit some things, but God can produce honest businessmen, truthful lawyers. How about this? Faithful preachers. Amen. Amen. That might be harder than fixing the lawyers. Amen. Amen. Loyal citizens. Amen. A faithful, devoted husbands and wives. Dedicated fathers and mothers. Obedient children. Amen. We need a revival that produces those things. And that is a revival that is according to God's Word. Amen. Not just a revival that lets us run and scream. I'm for the running and screaming if God's in it. Amen. But when you're sitting down and done with your running and screaming, you're still going to do right and serve God. Say amen. Amen. Instead of run out and live like the world lives. Amen. And mock and poke fun. Amen. Amen. God help us, this crowd, that all they do is come in and have a big shindig and then mock about it days later. God help them. Amen. A fellow told me a story. I didn't see it, but he told me he saw it about a man. And this was in one of our meetings in North Carolina, that this man ran out the door shouting and ran around the building. And this other fellow happened to be going out the back and said when that guy got, and he's shouting all the way till he got to the back door. And this fellow stepped out the back door and that fellow was standing over there just laughing, just guffawing, laughing. And when he saw him, he went back to shouting and run back around the building. I don't want to hear that kind of shouting. Amen. I want something that's real, don't you? I do. Amen. And brother, I believe Brother Hall, he was there in January last year in North Carolina, and it got on, didn't it? Amen. Matter of fact, he was instrumental in instigating a whole lot of that getting on. Amen. Amen. And it's a blessing. But it was real. And that's what we need in this day. And I believe a real revival that is according to the Bible will produce real praise. Amen. Real worship. Amen. Well, in other words, we need people that won't just clap their hands and shout hallelujah and amen during the sermon, but will actually practice the doctrine and live godly and holy lives. Amen. That's a revival that'll last long after the evangelist is gone. That's the kind of revival we need. That's a revival, according to thy word. Now, that's the definition. Let me give you the dire need of this revival. Just say something about the need. Look at these three verses again. Verse number 25 is where I'll start. 119, verse 25. I've got these three points on these three verses, considering the dire need of revival. Verse 25, he says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." My soul cleaveth unto the dust. You see, the psalmist here finds himself covered with the filth of this world. You know what dust is? Dust is something that just settles in. Especially when you're not moving. Not much action going on. Dust will settle in. Amen. Dust is filth that is natural. It's natural that the sunlight breaks down things and the trees are decaying. Our world is decaying. Our house is decaying. Amen. All that kind of stuff. The dust just settles in. And if there's nothing to move around, wind doesn't stir it. Or by the way, sometimes we sweep it up and we'll have a dust cloud. Amen. And if you've ever, as a little boy, come in wet with sweat and you walk through a dust cloud, you know what? You look like something, amen, that just rolled around in a mud puddle or something. That dust clings to you. And the psalmist said, that's what's happened to my soul. He said, in my soul, the dust has clung to it. And we need a revival that will clean us up. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. A revival that will allow us to shake off the dust and shake off the dirt and those things that cling to us from this world. Amen. In other words, rather than being more worldly, and if we're not careful, we'll progress in worldliness just like the world does. But because we're keeping the same distance from the world, we think we're all right. You've probably seen that illustration. You've got the world here and the church here. Let me start right in the center of the church. Can y'all see me around that microphone? Start right here in the middle. You got. We'll say this is the church and this is the world. And the world drifts into sin. And I'm talking, this side's the bad side, y'all the bad side. All right. And the world drifts in sin and drifts in sin. And here's the church. Now we're a long way from where we started, and the church is, ain't it? I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not talking about universal invisible church, but I'm talking about Christianity, if you understand what I'm talking about. We've drifted a long way from where we are. We're glad we're not where the world is. We're not as bad as they are. We think we're doing real good. But the truth is, we may be worse right here than they were when they were over here. There's Christians today doing things that sinners used to wouldn't have done. That's the truth. People that are saved, people that are in good, fundamental, King James Bible preaching, Baptist churches, doing things today that sinners in the past would not have done. Amen. Well, the psalmist finds himself covered with this dust, and his heart cries, his soul cries, his very being cries out to God and says, I want out of this filth. I want out of this mess. I want you to quicken me according to thy word. Amen. See, dust is a symbol of earthliness opposed to heavenliness or heavenly mindedness. David recognized his soul was attracted to this world. We just sang that song, prone to wonder how I feel it. Amen. That don't mean that you're on the verge of committing adultery, or you're on the verge of robbing a bank, or you're on the verge of getting drunk. But it does mean if we're not careful, if we don't deal with our heart won't be as red hot fervent for God as it ought to be. Amen. Amen. If we're not careful, our heart will not want to read the Bible. If we're not careful, we'll not want to pray. We'll not want to submit to God and the movements of God. Amen. It gets easier to stay at home than to go sometimes. Amen. That's true. And if we're not careful, that's how our heart will want to do. And so he says, God, I don't want this. I don't want this filth clinging to me. I want quickening. Amen. You know, when a plant dies, have you ever seen a plant? As it dies, those leaves droop down. And you know what happens? They gather dust. They will. They'll gather dust. The dust will cling to them. When it rains, that dust will splatter up on them. Now, a live plant, those leaves move, especially as the barometer moves, those leaves move. You've seen leaves will turn upside down to welcome in the rain. Amen. God invented that. Amen. Some evolutionists didn't come up with that. God invented that. Amen. Those leaves, amen. Those leaves turn over to accept that rain, and a living plant will shake off the dust, but a dying plant will droop, and a dying plant will let the dust gather on it. And the psalmist is saying, God, I don't want to be a withered plant. I don't want to be a dying plant. Amen. I want to have life that can shake off this world. Amen. Amen. They tell me that a sick eagle will wallow in the dust because it does not have the strength to shake it off. But a living eagle soars above the dust. Amen. A living eagle stays out of the dust. I believe that's right. Amen. Brother Don Green used to say, you can't soar with the eagles when you run with the turkeys. Amen. Amen. What we need is a revival that allows us to mount up with wings of eagle again. Amen. Amen. Soar above this world. Number two, in verse number 107, we not only need a revival that cleanses us from the things of this world, but 107 says this, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. So he's moved from a sin problem, a soul problem that's clinging to the world. He moves to a sickness. He has some burdens upon him, if I could say it that way. David is heavy under the burden. And so David is saying, we need a revival, I believe, that sustains us through life's burdens. Amen. Amen. We need a revival that sustains us through life's burdens. Very few people live their entire life without some affliction of some kind. Many people have multiple afflictions that they face. Amen. I think about this thing about the dust that he's talking about on his soul. Dust is not heavy, but burdens are heavy things. Amen. And the psalmist is saying that although he has been revived and his soul's not clinging to this earth, yet he's saying there are things that are weighing me down. There are things that are depressing my spirit. There are things that are grieving me in my body and in my mind and in my spirit. And I want help through this burden. Amen. We need a quickening that strengthens us to bear our burden. Now here's the point I want to get out of that, and I want you to see it. I'm almost to my last one, and I won't be done. I have one more point after that, all right? But I'm headed that way. I'm over halfway done, so you can breathe, all right? Here's what I want you to notice about David. David does not ask God to deliver him out of this burden. He does not. He says, God, strengthen me. Amen. 107, I am afflicted very much. And he doesn't say, give me out. He just says, quicken me according to thy word. Amen. He didn't say, get me out. What he's saying is, strengthen me so I can push on through. Amen. Strengthen me so I can walk this trail you've set before me. Strengthen me so I can climb out of this valley that's in front of me. Strengthen me so I can go on and glorify God. Amen. Amen. David, I believe, was heavy burdened. David was much afflicted, but he did not ask for his afflictions to be less. Amen. He did not ask for his burden to be lighter. He simply asked for life that might strengthen him. By the way, burdens make you stronger. Amen. Stress, I'm talking about putting pressure on you, is good to a point. Amen. I know so much stress can break you. Amen. And sometimes, if you take today's troubles and you go ahead and add tomorrow's troubles to today, you may have more than you can carry. You say, but God won't put more on. He didn't put all that on you. He said, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Amen. Amen. Sufficient for the day. Oh, and I know that's quoted in verses, and it's true. The Bible says, His grace, my grace is sufficient. That's what He said. But if today's troubles are enough, and His grace is enough, then I don't need to borrow troubles for tomorrow. Amen. Amen. He asked for a revival that'll sustain him under life's burdens, and we need that. Amen. Those spiritual troubles and those afflictions and those burdens that might push us down, if we've got the life we need, it'll not only not push us down, but it will actually strengthen us. It will actually build us up. Amen. So we can go on and glorify God. That's right. Amen. Number three, this last verse in this text that I'm looking at, verse 154. Plead my cause and deliver me. Now he's asking for deliverance. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. Here David asks for deliverance, and I believe that denotes captivity. Amen. I believe that revival, real revival, can break the bonds that have us bound. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I know. You may be saved, but sometimes saved people get bound up. Amen. Amen. I've been in the place at difference of times when I have been bound in spirit. Amen. My spirit was bound. I can't blame somebody. Amen. I can't even blame sin necessarily. God just allowed me to be in a place that I was bound up and I didn't have the liberty and I didn't have the exuberance that I knew I wanted. Amen. But I'm telling you what we can do is, as the psalmist did, we can ask God for help. We can ask God for deliverance, and God can help us and deliver us. Amen. Sometimes habits, sometimes sins bind us up. That's true, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Things, I could name a whole lot of sins, but you know about them. I'm just saying there's sins that may bind us up. Amen. They may hinder us. We need a revival that instills godly life. Amen. That breaks those habits. That says, I'm not doing that anymore. Amen. I've heard different stories throughout the congregation and different ones that's talked about the revival that you had when Brother Smith was here in that meeting. And what year was that? Somebody help me again. 96, all right? I was thinking that was right, but I wasn't sure. In at that 96, because I don't want to, when I say that, I'm not wanting to credit Brother Smith. I'm not against Brother Smith, but he didn't bring revival. Amen. It was God brought revival. And so I don't mean to say Brother Smith brought the revival. By the way, Brother Hall was here laboring faithful all that time, and that didn't mean that God didn't use him. God took one, sowed one, watered, and God gave the increase. That's the way it is. That's the way it works. Amen. But that 96 revival, not only were they some sinners saved, not only was their conviction deep through here, but there were some people laid aside some sins, laid aside some habits, amen, made some decisions that said, I may not even be sure it's a sin, but I don't quit that because I want to bring glory to God and I want God to work more in my life. Amen. And God honored it. And He'll still honor it. And real revival will bring that about. Amen. Revival instills life. It stops us from being slothful and lazy and do nothing. Amen. Some Christians, not only bound by sin, some are bound by fear. Fear of man bringeth a snare. Amen. Amen. You ever seen somebody and the Lord nudged you to witness to them? And you said, but Lord, he's got tattoos. Lord, she's got earrings in her eyes. Listen, the fear of man bringeth a snare. When we allow their appearance to stop us from doing what God said to do, we are grieving the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Now, I'm not for men getting tattoos, or women, by the way. I'm not for women getting all them ear piercings, or men, by the way. Amen. I'm not for that. But I'm not for people grieving the Holy Ghost either. And I believe he said that's what the Christian's doing when he allows the fear of man to stop him. Amen. Those apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost. And when they were filled with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, the Bible says that they had boldness to proclaim the Word of God. Amen. That's what real revival will do. We need a revival that'll give us the strength of Samson. That'll break the bonds that the Philistines are putting on us. Amen. And go on and serve God and bring Him glory. Lastly, let me give you this last thing. Not only the dire need that we have and the definition that's there, but I want you to see the direction of how to obtain this revival. All three of these verses have the same statement. All three of them. They say, quicken me, or quicken thou me, according to thy word. The common denominator in all three of those verses are they are all prayers. They're all cries of the heart. And I believe revival is an answer to prayer. I don't believe God says, well, it's going to be January the 21st, so now's the time to drop revival. No, I believe God says, I'm hearing a cry like He heard the children of Israel in bondage. Amen. He said, I've seen their affliction, and I've heard their cry, and I'm going to send deliverance. Amen. God help us. Now, I know God sees what's going on, but does He hear a cry going up saying, God, please rescue us. God, please give us revival. Amen. Revival, I believe, only comes by prayer. Amen. This is a personal prayer for a personal revival. David did not say, quicken us, revive us. He said, me, quicken thou me. Amen. Amen. It does little good to pray for God to quicken somebody else until we pray for Him to quicken me. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Well, and then if you get quickened, if one person gets quickened, it will affect others. Something about fire. Fire has a tendency to spread. Amen. Amen. I wish somebody would strike the match that would cause a revival that would sweep our nation. Amen. I'm talking about praying to God, getting hold of God, getting a coal off the altar of God. Amen. That'll do more than we've seen done in a long time. Amen. The truth is God quickens individuals. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached and those thousands got saved, you know what the Bible says about that? There's a phrase in there. He said in that those tongues of fire came down upon each, E-A-C-H, each of them. You know what that means? Individual. I believe individuals getting revived can bring a church-wide revival. Amen. Can bring a statewide, even a nationwide, even a worldwide. Amen. You say you believe God can? I believe God can do anything God wants to do. Amen. I really do. Well, I believe He quickens individually. It is an individual thing. Amen. Pentecost also, not only was each of them touched, but it followed 10 days of prayer. Diligent supplication, calling on God. Amen. You remember right after that in Acts chapter 3? Peter and John were headed up to the temple to pray. It was the hour of prayer. And he saw that lame man, by the way. You remember that text? Amen. And when they came upon that lame man and they touched him, the point I'm getting out of that is that Peter and John were in the spirit of prayer and they were going to the house of prayer and they had designated it as a time of prayer. Looks to me like God must do amazing things when we will be dedicated to prayer.
Amen.
I believe it's right. Amen. Mark chapter number 9. Our Lord and His disciples have been upon the mountain we call the Mount of Transfiguration. He was transfigured, transformed in front of them. And He came down the mountain. You remember the story? At the bottom of that mountain was a man with a lad that had a devil. And that man asked the Lord, could he do anything? He said, I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't help him. And he said, ask the Lord, could he have him? The Lord did. The Lord cast out the devil. And those disciples asked the Lord, why could we not cast out this devil? And the Lord said, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. Amen. I believe that's the answer. That's the conclusion. The psalmist David said, he said, Lord, my soul is bound up in this dust and I'm burdened about it and I'm praying for it. Deliverance. He said, Lord, I've got a burden pushing on me and I've got all this pressure on me and I'm asking you, God, I'm praying for strength to get through this burden. He goes on to say, Lord, I am bound up. I am tied up. I've got these problems. And Lord, I am asking You to deliver me. And I'm asking in the spirit of prayer. Amen. I read this statement. And I wrote it down because it fits right here. This man said this. Oh, that God would give us an Elijah that would pray the rain right out of the clouds. Amen. That would refresh our land. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, I've preached on prayer. I've tried to pray. And Lord, I'm asking You to give us even more of a spirit of prayer. Lord, I'm asking not just because we need money, and we do need money for the radio. I'm not just because we got the equipment problem and we need that fixed and we need to be back on there, AJJ. Not just because Brother Raines is coming and, Lord, I'd like to see You move as he preaches. But Lord, I'm praying because my soul needs refreshment from God. Lord, I need You to help me have the strength I need to go on. I need You to help me be able to press through and press on for the mark. I need You to help me to be able to shake off the dust and the filth that tries to attach itself to me. I need You to help me that I'll not be bound in spirit, oh Lord, but that I might have the liberty You want me to have. Live for You on the victory side, Lord. That's what I'm asking. Let me do it, Lord. And I'm asking for a revival. Lord, I'm praying You'll help our church to get under that burden. We've got loved ones that have been named several services, loved ones that are lost, need salvation. People that are sick, some of them that are lost and sick. Some of them that are lost and in bad shape, physically. Lord, give us a revival of faith. Give us a revival of conviction. Give us a revival of conscientiousness. Give us a revival of love. Give us, dear God, a burden to carry this to You and to plead for revival. To cry for revival. Lord, I pray meet the need, save the lost. And this invitation, I pray You'll have Your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come, do business with the Lord.
155.
155. Do business with the Lord.